I have been told many times that if I'm going to be effective as a teacher or as a public speaker or as a homilist, I should use visual aids. And I'm sure it's true. I mean, people who use visual aids well are usually very effective communicators. So people with their PowerPoint presentations and their charts and their illustrations. It's hard to do in a homily because you can't go dragging stuff into the church all the time. But today, as we ponder this gospel in which Jesus mentions tombs, actually mentions tombs twice, I've got a great visual aid. It's right behind the building. A big white box, about 18 inches on a side, a cube really, white, a whitewashed tomb. Perfect. A tomb of the prophets adorned the memorials of the righteous. That's the vault that has been prepared for Sister Barbara. As you know, she's been dead for more than 40 days and she's still not buried yet. But by next week, we hope on her birthday, she will be buried. And that big white box back there behind this building is the vault in which her urn will be placed. If you look at it, it's just a cement cube, a precast cement painted white. But if you look at it, and the thing weighs about 200 pounds, that's why I can't bring it in here as a visual aid. But if you look inside, if you could take off the cover, which is about 25 pounds itself, but if you were to open the cover, look inside, you would see it's not just cement. On the inside, there's ceramic tile. It's shiny white tile on the inside. It's much nicer on the inside than on the outside, which means it's not really a very good visual aid for this gospel. In this gospel, Jesus continues his blistering attack on the Pharisees. We should be grateful that yesterday was a feast day and we didn't have to read another one of these gospels about Jesus attacking the Pharisees, because usually we get these 3 days in a row, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, Monday we had him attacking the Pharisees. Yesterday was the feast of Saint Bartholomew, so we had that reading about a man who was not a hypocrite. He was a genuine Israelite, Nathanael. So we didn't have to read any more of the woes. And then today we go back to this section in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." 7 times he says, "Woe to you." 7 times he gives severe criticism to their hypocrisy. And this particular gospel uses this image of a whitewashed tomb. It's got to be one of the best visual aids for a hypocrite that anyone could think of. Beautiful on the outside and inside full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. That's why this box behind us, behind the building here, is not that good, because first of all, there's nothing inside but a clean white tile, and the outside is not as nice as the inside. If you look at the scripture commentaries, the scholars, they say that this is often misinterpreted. The reason why tombs were whitewashed in the days of Jesus was because to touch a tomb or to even get too close to a tomb would render a person ritually impure. So the whitewashing was not just to make them look nice. It was actually a kind of warning. Don't come too close or you'll get defiled. Now, maybe that's true. I don't know. I know that in ancient times, people did not use tombs the way we do now. They'd have cemeteries like we do with each grave marked with a stone and all that. But Jesus' own words, he doesn't say you're whitewashed tombs and so people should stay away from you. He doesn't say what the scripture scholars say. He says you're whitewashed tombs, you're like whitewashed tombs, because you appear beautiful on the outside, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and evil doing. So since the topic is hypocrisy, not impurity, not ritual impurity, I think the obvious interpretation is that we're not supposed to take all or put all our energy into outward appearances. We're supposed to take care of the inside first. You see, a hypocrite has this inconsistency. He's not the same on the outside as he is on the inside. If you have an evil person who doesn't mind looking bad, well, he's not a hypocrite. Sometimes you know some people who have notorious reputations, and they are bad people. They're not hypocrites. Hypocrites have something hidden inside which defiles them. Some selfishness, some pride, some judgment, some greed, some sin. But on the outside, they look great. They look holy. Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees then is not only against them. It's a warning to all of us, especially religious people. In fact, especially priests or any religious leader, because it's easy to look holy. We're supposed to look holy, in a sense, because we're supposed to reflect on the outside what we are on the inside. That's not hypocrisy. If we're really holy and we look holy, well, great. But more often, we spend more time trying to look good than trying to be good. That's hypocrisy. I suppose you could come up with different possibilities. A person who's bad on the inside and looks bad on the outside. A person who's good on the inside and looks good on the outside. A person who is bad on the inside and looks good on the outside, that's a hypocrite. You could also have a person who is good on the inside and looks bad on the outside. That's true of a lot of the saints. In fact, it's true of St. Bartholomew yesterday, remember? He didn't look so good. He's the one who was scornfully rejecting of Nazareth. But Jesus honored him for being a man without duplicity. He was exactly the opposite of a hypocrite. He was authentic. This is obviously what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be Pharisees, hypocrites. We're supposed to be authentic. This is what we can see in today's first reading. St. Paul, remember, St. Paul was a Pharisee. He was very well schooled in the ways that led to hypocrisy. And if you read the beginning of today's reading, you might think, oh, here's Paul boasting about how great he is. He's talking about his toil, about his drudgery, about how he worked so hard, how he behaved so devoutly, so justly, so blamelessly, how he treated the Thessalonians like a father, exhorting them, encouraging them, insisting that they walk in the Christian way. What is this guy Paul talking about himself? Why is he boasting about himself? You might say, what is he? A Pharisee? Hypocrite? But when you get to the second part of the first reading, you realize what he's doing. He's showing that all this effort that he's put into serving and teaching the Thessalonians is so that they receive the word of God. And he's so grateful that what they got from him was not the word of men, but the word of God. He's happy that for all his effort, What they got was not simply his human effort, which would be worthless if it didn't have love. No, they got the word of God, and this is what he says. We give thanks to God unceasingly that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received it not as the word of men, not as the word of Paul, but as it truly is the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. Paul is not a whitewashed tomb. He's a good visual aid. Because what you saw in him, his hard work, his fatherly care, his efforts to proclaim the gospel, what you saw in him was really the work of God in him, so that the work of God could continue in his listeners. He's a good visual aid, or you might want to call him an audible aid. An icon. That's what we're supposed to be. Yes, we are visible and audible. People can see us, they can hear us, they know what we do and what we say. But does what we do and does what we say communicate God to people? That's the way it's supposed to work. Well, we ask the Lord to give us the grace to be good visual aids, not to carry around big white boxes or gadgets or things that will impress people. No, to be ourselves a sign of the presence of the work of the mercy of God, to be visual aids, to be icons of the presence of God.